you got for us today, Dr. Dre? Crank it up.
Blog Talk Radio.
I think we have some fun, Rob. Ready? Have some fun.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know we can't play like the other people, but what?
Blow the whistle.
Now, perform this, Rob. What? Welcome for some Talking Torch with the 12th Man. Today is a fantastic, Wednesday. It is April the 30th, and I am Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, as always, Mr. Robert Ford. And without further ado, I always like to check in with Robert and see how he's doing this fantastic evening. So how you doing, sir?
Yeah, doing great, man. How about you?
Doing great as well, man. A lot better than Donald Sterling, to say the least, as well as Jameis Winston as well too. So, man, I know we're gonna beat that topic as well. But of course, you are talking sports and talking like you always talked about. And I always like to fill out the shows for you when to call in, give us your thoughts, give us your feedback. The number to call into the show, it is 424-243-9519. Once again, that's 424-243-9519. I always got to do this, Rob, every show start. If you want to follow us via Twitter, you can follow us at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And we're also on Facebook. So if you go to facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you type in Talking Sports, the 12th Man, you'll find us as well. And I know, Rob, you've been doing a great job of posting a lot of mock draft information too, man. But we got a lot of stuff to get into. Are you ready to do this?
That doesn't make it do what it do, Doc.
Let us make it do what it do. So, you know, we always like to keep everything relevant, Rob, but I don't know if you saw this. So before we get into the topic that everyone's talking about with Donald Sterling, I don't know if you heard this, Rob, but Mike D'Antoni has actually resigned as the Lakers coach. I don't know if you actually saw that.
Yeah, that's breaking news tonight. There was a little bit of controversy there. It looked like the Lakers were all set to bring him back. But Mike D'Antoni wanted another year added onto his contract for a little safety. And I think that was the issue that caused him to resign. The Lakers weren't prepared to do that. They wanted to see what kind of season they have next year before they give him an extra year on his contract. So that was the breaking point. And, you know, and it obviously, it may work out pretty good for the Lakers because the Lakers didn't fire him. So the Lakers fired him, they would have to pay him. But since he resigned, they don't. And so I think a lot of Laker fans are happy here that they can start fresh and try to find a head coach of their choice here, which I believe Byron Scott is front runner at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with that too. And I think it's pretty funny, Rob, because you actually see Magic Johnson. He's actually tweeting out that he's so excited that Mike D'Antoni is actually going to be gone. So, you know, I don't think he had a lot of friends, Rob. A lot of fans. I know that there's been some critics, if you're a Lakers fan, as far as the style of play that he had. I know he runs more of an up-tempo style and the way that Lakers are constructed. They didn't really fit that. You know, obviously the Paul Gasol didn't fit that style as well. So very curious, and you bring back a familiar face if you're a Lakers fan in Byron Scott, sir.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is here, there's a lot of reports out there that Kyrie Irving is saying if the Lakers hire Byron Scott, that he will, when his contract is up with the Cavs, that he will sign with the Lakers. I don't know if the Lakers are talking to him. That could be tampering issues there. But all indications are that Kyrie Irving would love to reunite with Byron Scott, and he would sign with the Lakers if that happens. So that could be a selling point for Byron Scott as far as getting the head coaching job back.
Man, that would be a very exciting move. So we'll keep that. You know, that's what we do, man. We have, like, a lot of breaking news. We talk about a lot of sources about that. So, yeah, so if you're a Lakers fan, that's pretty exciting as you usher into a new era as, you know, obviously Kobe's kind of nearing the end of his career, and you definitely join get an exciting player. If that actually goes down, we're not saying this is going to happen. We'll see if this is going to be a great
And there are a lot of rumors that Kevin Love will love to sign with the Lakers, too, so that could be another piece there, you know, getting Kevin Love. The bottom line right now is the Lakers just don't have the personnel. You can say what you want about Mike D'Antoni as a head coach, but the bottom line is I don't think any coach around can win with the personnel that they have right now. And so they're definitely going to have to get some big-time players in there.
Yeah, it's good stuff, too. And like we talked about, too, you know, it looks like the Lakers
I like
have
it when they lose as a Laker hater.
We're not shy about our feelings in this particular instance, too. We try to keep it fair, as you know, but I don't think we're the biggest Lakers fans. And that maybe that has to do with Kobe. I don't know. But that's okay. We'll keep moving, as always. The Lakers, they have a top 10 pick in this coming year draft, so they definitely can reload, Rob. But if you added Kyrie Irving, you added Kevin Love, man, you're definitely you know, you're definitely going to continue to get better. I'm not sure how much Steve Nash has in the tank, but you know, we'll keep an eye as far as that as well too, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's keep it moving, man. You know, I had to, you know, we were able to, like we talked about, a lot of things happening. We definitely try to make sure that we are on top of all those breaking news stories. But let's go ahead and jump into this, Rob. I know everyone's been talking about this issue. And first and foremost, I have to give Adam Silver, you talk about a great way to come in as a commissioner, put your stamp in the league. You know, he obviously does the ban, gives, you know, Donald Sterling a lifetime ban, $2.5 million fine. And obviously we're going to keep an eye on the situation over the next couple months because I'm sure that Donald Sterling is not going to go quietly. But the word on the street is Oprah would be interested in becoming an owner of the Clippers. And I would say, unequivocally, yes, man, she'd be a great owner because she would probably put people in place that knew what's going on. She definitely has the funding. I think it would be a fantastic move if she decides to actually go that direction, Rob. What are your thoughts on this particular situation?
Well, I think so, too. I think it would be an outstanding thing. And I think now what's basically going to happen is that she would be a minority owner with the with Ellison being the, you know, Larry Ellison, the Oracle billionaire. He would be the front runner as far as the owner for the Clippers, purchasing the Clippers. And he would get some assistant. Oprah Winfrey would jump in as a minority owner. And she would basically just sit back as an investor while Larry Ellison pretty much runs the organization. Of course, Larry Ellison has deep pockets, Oracle CEO, billionaire. Also, billionaire media executive David Geffen will also come in as a minority owner along with Oprah Winfrey. So the three of them is looking to team up with Larry Ellison being the majority owner and pretty much running the team. And, you know, I don't know if you know Larry Ellison. He's attempted to buy a couple NBA teams twice. He attempted to purchase the New Orleans Hornets, but Tom Benson, of course, jumped in and jumped on that. And he also attempted to purchase the Golden State Warriors, so maybe he's finally going to be successful with getting his NBA franchise in Los Angeles, and a pretty profitable one at that at the moment. I think, in the wake of what's going down, I think there's So that threesome will be a great ownership for the Clippers.
Had a great question. Thank you. Thank you, Texter, that asked, do you think that having Oprah on the team, would that bring more women viewers into the fray? And that's a great, great question, by the way, too.
I think so, too. I think that is that by the way, is a great question. We appreciate that. But I do think that having Oprah involved would probably attract more women to the game of basketball. I think it. I think that would be great for the game of basketball, getting her involved. Obviously, I think there are a lot of African-American women that's already in tune to basketball, but I think it would bring a greater appeal to women overall to the game. And I think that would definitely be a huge impact. And I think the NBA, you know, should definitely try to get involved in the game as much as they can.
Gotcha. I know we're talking about teams and owning. I know Magic was rumored to be interested in possibly becoming an owner. I'm not sure if he's going to be part of the group. But do you think there's a possibility of Seattle even, you know, if the NBA may expand? Do you think that's a good possibility as well? Or what are your thoughts about that too?
Well, yeah, I think it's just a matter of time before Seattle has a franchise as well. I think the NBA is working out the logistics there for arena standpoint. And owner, look like they have an owner in place already there in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the scheduling and divisions, because you have an odd number of teams. You add Seattle, you go to 31 franchises. So you're going to have one conference with 16 teams, one with 15. So you just got to try to work out that balance. Do we want to do plus one or do we want to do a plus two? And I think the NBA is working out those logistics right now.
Yeah, probably a plus two if I'm looking at that, kind of even out both conferences too. So, you know, who knows? We'll keep an eye on that.
You know, there's a couple other cities that, you know, that would like to have an NBA team. Louisville is one. Kansas City is another. So if you're able to add two, obviously you're even it out. And so, yeah, the NBA is going through that right now. Do we want to do plus one, plus two? I think Seattle is definitely back in the league in a few years. And now the NBA just has to make a decision. Do we want to add a Kansas City? Do we want to add a Louisville? Or do we even want to add a London? And so that's even you know, a possibility as well.
Gotcha. We'll keep an eye on that as well. Man, I got to say, Rob, this has been probably one of the more exciting playoff series, Rob. And this is a pretty good thing. Now, obviously, you know, we're into, you know, basketball, we're keeping an eye on everything. But you talk about some very entertaining series. And you know, let's just kind of get caught up as far as that. I know we want to talk about a lot of things. You know, obviously, congratulations to the Washington Wizards. They knock out the Chicago Bulls a lot quicker than expected. But that's a great, great team that's going to provide some matchups. They're waiting for the winner of the Atlanta-Indiana series, Atlanta is up 3-2. And I know we talked about that, and we'll jump into that too. You know, Miami pretty much knocked off Charlotte 4-0. You know, we kind of figured that was going to happen. But I want to talk about a great series, Rob, that's gone to a couple overtimes. I think this is the most overtimes. In that Oklahoma City, OKC, and Memphis. And Memphis, man, they literally knocked off Oklahoma by 1 point. And I want to get your thoughts about this, Rob, but I also want to ask you a question. What do you think about Russell Westbrook? Do you think he's kind of the problem with that particular franchise? Because I don't think he wants to play second fiddle to Kevin Durant. But Kevin Durant is the man. So get your thoughts about this. You know, this is probably one of the great series. They've been going into a lot of overtime and some of that too as well, Rob.
Well, yeah, I think it's definitely one of the best series so far in the first round of playoffs, if not the best, with four straight overtime games, 4 to 5 games going in overtime. I think if you're an Oklahoma City fan, you have to be disappointed that Russell Westbrook is taking more shots than Kevin Durant. That should not happen. Kevin Durant, there's a reason why he's led the league in scoring here this season. He's the best scorer in the game. And you want him taking more shots than you want Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook has to be a better distributor of the basketball. He's got to get players in position for them to succeed. And, you know, and Oklahoma City's going to have to make a decision here. If they lose here in the first round, you have to make a decision here. Is Russell Westbrook your point guard of the future? Can these guys coexist long term? And because obviously they're the favorite in this series, even though Memphis is a very hot team at third-best record in the NBA since the All-Star break. But this is a series that you would expect Oklahoma City to win. And right now Memphis pretty much has them on the ropes. And Memphis is going home with an opportunity to close this series out. And you got to give Memphis some credit, too, for the way Oklahoma City – Tony Allen is doing a phenomenal job on Kevin Durant, too, so you got to give them some credit there. Tayshaun Prince, with his length, is also causing them some trouble as well. And the bigs for Memphis, Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph, are just eating Kendrick Perkins and Serge Ibaka's lunch in the paint. And, I mean, that's pretty much been the difference in this series when you look at it. And Memphis is, like I said, they're playing very good defense. And they're slowing down that juggernaut of OKC's offense. And
yeah,
I would expect Memphis to close this game out in game six.
Yeah, you took the words right out of the mouth, Rob. You talked about just a squad that's been playing very well. And I'm sure whenever they got rid of Rudy Gay, you're probably thinking where they get their scoring punch from. But, you know, they have two great back-to-the-basket, you know, big men like you talked about, Marc Gasol. He's looking like he's a better Gasol right now. Zach Randolph has always been a pretty good player. But it's interesting to see how he's developed because he doesn't have to be like the go-to guy anymore, Rob, like he was before. He can literally kind of let the game come to him. Mike Conley's growing up right in front of our eyes. And as you mentioned, Tony Allen, you kind of got a good balance of of a team. And this Memphis team has been a scary team before, Rob. Even last year, they gave a lot of fits. So they're just continuing to progress. You know, so this is if they knock off OKC, which we're predicting they're going to do, this is going to be a very interesting Western Coast final, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at this Western Conference right now, all of these series have been pretty tough. I mean, you look at the Spurs. Spurs just went up 3-2 on Dallas. But when you look at all five of those games in that series, they're going down on the wire. Even tonight, Dallas makes a run down the stretch to make it interesting. And I still expect the Spurs to win this series. But I think it's going to take seven games for the Spurs to win this series. I think Dallas goes back home and win. I think the Spurs win in game seven. I think Portland will lose tonight to the Rockets, but I think Portland closes them out in game six when they go back home. But I'm looking at a Spurs-Portland second-round series, and if I'm the Spurs, you got to be scared of this Portland team. When you look at LaMarcus Aldridge, Damian Lillard, and Nick Batum, I mean, these are three players that are, you know, of course, Aldridge is already there as a superstar, but when you look at Damian Lillard, I mean, he's right on the verge of being another superstar. And Nick Batum, pretty close to being a star himself. So this will be a team, if you're the Spurs, you're going to be scared of here in the next round. And I expect that to be a seven-game series in the second round. And then you close out the Western Conference here. You look at the Clippers and the Warriors. I think you're looking at another seven-game series here. I like the Clippers in the end to close it out in seven games, but I believe the Warriors win the next one and the Clippers close it out at home. So these are all very entertaining series. And you look at a second-round matchup of the Clippers and the Grizzlies, and you're looking at another great series there as well. You know, you can have every series in the West go seven games there.
Yeah, I can agree with you. I do want to take the time to point out the Portland and the Houston series because, you know, if I am the Houston Rockets, you came in, you got the prize free agent signing in Dwight Howard. As a Hawks fan, I'm pretty happy about it because, you know, good riddance. But now it looks like he's not even going to get his chance to play. I mean, this Portland team, like you talked about, man, they are on fire. You know, you've got, a lot of young stars. James Harden, Dwight Howard, you would think that they are a more talented team. But maybe they're even in certain instances. Maybe it's a point guard thing in this particular thing. But, you talk about a team, we've seen like LaMarcus Aldridge just becoming more explosive. Robbie's been averaging like 30 points, it seems like. In the playoffs, but what a great team, and like you talked about, I'm excited. This is just like I said, it's been a great playoff series.
Yeah, absolutely. This is another series. Even though Portland is up 3-1, you're talking about 3 or 4 of these games have gone overtime as well. I mean, it's not like Portland is winning these games in blowout fashion. These are close victories going to overtime. And, Houston just had a double-digit lead here in the first half in this ball game. Portland goes on a run right before the half, cuts it to 8 points. I expect this to be another nail-biting type game tonight. I think Houston will win tonight in a close fashion, and Portland close it out in game six. It's kind of the way I see it happening here. But I still expect these to be some very entertaining, very close games, evenly matched teams.
Getting a lot of love. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead. I'll let you finish up.
Yeah, you look at the Eastern Conference here, of course, Miami and Washington both have moved on in impressive fashion. I believe those will be your two teams in the Eastern Conference Finals as well. Not to skip around here, but I think Washington is a team that could really give Miami some fits too. I mean, they have the talent. When you look at John Wall, Bradley Beal, when you look at Nene, Trevor Ariza is playing the best basketball of his career right now. This is a team I think that caused Miami some fits in the Eastern Conference Finals. And you look at the other two series going on in the East. You look at Toronto, Brooklyn. I think you're looking at a seven-game series here. I think Brooklyn goes home and win. Toronto closes it out at home in, close fashion. Toronto's is a good young talent. I believe Miami will be too strong for them in the next round. And then, as I predicted on last week's show, I think Atlanta will upset the Patriots.
I know you'd like to hear that. Talk about that. So we got a text from the 404 code talking about that. And then they want to know what do you think is going on with the Patriots and where the breakdown is occurring, too. So I just want to get into that real quick. I'll let you finish your thoughts too. But yeah, thank you for the text 404. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, we appreciate the text. And when you look at this Hawks Pacers series, what has happened to Roy Hibbert? I mean, he just fell off the face of earth. He was an all-star center. At one point, looked like the best center in the Eastern Conference. And I think the Hawks have done a tremendous job neutralizing him, spreading the floor, and it's just causing him fits. And the Hawks got some great shooters on the floor. And you got to give the head coach, Greg Popovich's disciple, Mike Budenholzer. Am I pronouncing his name right?
Budenholzer. You're close.
Budenholzer. I think he's doing a masterful job coaching in this series. He's definitely out coaching Frank Vogel. And, I look for the Hawks to win this series. I look forward to winning them in game six, too, in the next game at home. I think the Hawks will be competitive with the Wizards, but I do. I know we got a lot of listeners in the Atlanta area. They're not going to want to hear me say this, but I like the Wizards. I think the Wizards are going to be too strong. This Wizard team is going to be good for a long time. When you look at that talent, Wall and Beal is going to be the best backcourt in the NBA for years to come. You heard it here first. Phenomenal backcourt. And like I said, I believe this team could give Miami fits in the Eastern Conference Finals as well.
That's okay, Rob. We've picked some games wrong. I know we were kind of leaning towards OKC, and that didn't come out the right way too. But, I do agree with you. Maybe they're kind of young. They do have a lot of talent. We'll see. And I'm just happy with the Hawks, man, because, we have proven that we've been able to overcome without having an Al Horford, like you talked about. Mike Budenholzer has done a fabulous job doing pretty much some stuff that Mike Woodson and Larry Drew couldn't do with our talent, and so we're impressed with that too. And we'll see how it plays out for sure. Obviously, you've seen the Jeff T kind of grow up in front of our eyes. He's definitely going to be something to behold. We got some shooters, and I have to say, talking about Indiana, Rob, I'm very, very surprised about the play of Roy Hibbert, man, because you talk about just a guy that looked like he was, just an up-and-coming guy. And just, I don't know what's happening in this particular series. Maybe there's some infighting going on. You can clearly tell this team has no chemistry. And, they were the one squad that we thought that could definitely give Miami some challenges. But if you can't get out the first round, then, there's going to be some changes. I think that Frank Vogel is definitely in trouble. He may lose his job over this. Not that I want to wish that on anybody, but I think it's definitely to that effect for sure.
Well, I think another thing that's causing is Indiana Pacers. There's no flow to their offense, and I think what happened here down the stretch to the Pacers, they were pretty much exposed. They don't have a true point guard that can get their offense in rhythm, and it's really started affecting the last couple of months in the season, and it's carried over to the playoffs, and not getting the physical presence of Roy Hibbert going as well. I think the combination of both of those things you can see has really hurt this Indiana team. And I'll say this about your Atlanta Hawks here. I think if you're a Hawks fan, I think you have to be happy with the future here with Mike Budenholzer. The one good thing coming from Greg Popovich's system here, they know how to find the right role players to fit their system. And you look at a Jeff Teague, you look at a Paul Millsap, you get a Al Horford back, they find the right role players to fit their system, and it helps them to win a lot of basketball games. So I think if you're a Hawks fan, this is another team with a pretty bright future as well.
Finally, we have a bright future as well. We got about 6 minutes left in the show. Once again, I do want to throw out the numbers one more time. Everyone, I hope you're enjoying the show so far. 424-243-9519 is that number. Once again, if you wanted to follow us, tweet us, all that fun stuff, go ahead and do that. That's the number 12, THMA in Sports, and we're on Facebook as well. We got to talk about Facebook because Rob's done a fantastic job of posting some stuff about the NFL draft, which we'll definitely get into, especially if you have to jump into the OT portion with that.
But next Thursday night, people.
Yeah, that's the draft is coming, man. We're excited about that. I do want to talk about, real quick, as we wrap up the NBA, the Clippers, I know they've been getting, a lot of negative press, but Jamal Crawford has quietly been named the sixth man of the year, and I think this is the second stint. He's also got that award as playing as a member of the Atlanta Hawks, so this is just a great move for the Clippers. And about Jamal Crawford as well, Rob.
He can still light it up, boys. He can still shoot that basketball, man, and he's into his 30s now. Congratulations to Jamal Crawford on being the NBA Sixth Man of the Year. Deservingly so.
I do think if Lou Williams was not as hurt this year, I think he would have qualified for that as well. I know he won it the year before. But, good stuff as well, and we'll keep him moving. Man, we got about 5 minutes, and I think I'd love to spend the rest of the time devoted to the NFL draft. And we're excited about this, Rob, because I was talking to you kind of pregame, and we were thinking that, you know, obviously I'm a fan of Cabinet the last week of April because you know that you're going to have Saturday and Sunday. You kind of lock yourself in. Back in the day, I would just lock myself in just be consumed with all draft stuff. Now it's going to be kind of, you know, spread over those couple of days. But next week, it is what it is, man. And I do think having this extra week maybe could be good, could be bad, because now it seems like we have all these different smoke screens and all these different signals and whatnot, what's happening. But, you know, I think this is mock draft number 25 for you, it seems like, Rob. I don't know. but in your latest mock, if this actually goes down the way that you have it, sir, as a Falcon fan, I am extremely happy about this because, you know, it looks like there's been some interesting moves here. I know the question, and it still depends on Houston, Rob. I really don't think Houston wants that number one pick. I'm thinking, Rob, right about now, they're taking all the calls they can. They're looking for the best deal. They're looking for the what team can give them the sweetest deal. And if they don't find that, then I think that they probably will go with, you know, Jadavian. I don't think he fits their system exactly, Rob, but, you know, and I've heard from the camps that they're leaning towards Khalil Mack over Jadavian Clowney. But, you know, with that being said, let's kind of talk about the mock draft here. You know, you've got some interesting moves here in that Blake Bortles kind of falls to Jacksonville, if this is what it is. I may flip those two picks. And also word on the street is that the Rams, they may still be interested, Rob, in Jake Matthews because they had a session where they had all of the Texas A&M players in from, you know, they obviously had Mike Evans in, they had Jake Matthews, and they had Johnny Manziel, which is pretty interesting, to say the least, because you have Sam Bradford there, so could be smoke screens, could be whatever. Who knows? This is mock draft number 32. What do you have to say about all the movements for the first couple of picks, Rob?
Well, getting back to Houston, which you mentioned, and, as far as trading out of the pick, obviously, based on what I'm hearing, the only way they trade out, if they get a super sweet deal like the Rams did with the trading to Washington for Washington and get Robert Griffin III. I don't think there's a team that's going to make that kind of a deal in this draft. So I do expect Houston to stay at the number one position and at the moment take the best player in the draft, Jadavian Clowney. I think they've pretty much made up their mind. If they are keeping a pick, that's who it's going to be. You know, it was Bortles for a while, but I think they've come to the conclusion we don't feel like we can pass on the best player in the draft. They don't want to regret this here in the next couple of years. They're going to try to take their chances. Ryan Fitzpatrick or getting a quarterback in the second round, seeing if you can get a Bridgewater or a Derek Carr to fall to the second round. And if that doesn't go through, see if you can get a guy like A.J. McCarron in the third round. And so that's what Houston is looking at the moment. Even though I had them taking Clowney right now, and I haven't taken Morgan Moses, offensive tackle from Virginia, in the second round at the moment. So I'm looking at a third-round quarterback here, A.J. McCarron, for the Houston Texans at the moment. They still need offensive line help. Their offensive line was atrocious. So you get Clowney to pair him up with J.J. Watt. You get Morgan Moses to help with that O-line and see if you can get a development of quarterback and A.J. McCarron in the third round.
All right, well, like I said, that's a nice little snippet of what we're going to offer, what we're going to talk about. So, Rob, we got about a minute, sir. If you can go ahead and set up the OT portion, and we'll keep it moving, if that's okay.
All right, you want to join us next week for our last pre-draft show on next week to talk. It'll probably be our last mock draft to cover before the draft on next Thursday night. So you definitely want to stay tuned for our show on next week. Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. That'll be 8 p.m. Pacific. And always got to say hello to our friends in Hawaii. Aloha, it'll be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time on next week. Don't want to miss that show next week. And we'll be, of course, updating all the fantastic NBA playoffs as well. Good night, people.
Good night, people. We're excited about that. And as mentioned, the OT portion, you can't listen to it live, but you can definitely archive it, listen to it, tell us your thoughts. I know we'll keep it moving, too. I know we gave a little snippet as far as what's happening. We've been talking a lot of mock draft. We'll keep it moving. as well. So thank you for listening to the live portion. We are switching gears, and we are heading into the OT portion.
All right. Make sure you click the same link. Listen to the OT portion on tomorrow.
All right. We are officially into the OT portion. And, Rob, man, it seems like there's a lot of smoke screens going on right about now. Houston still owns the, they're in the catbird seat like we talked about. And right about now, I'm a huge fan of Peter King, money quarterback. He's made a lot of good points. As far as certain quarterbacks, I know we're going to definitely talk back into the draft here. And I guess the question is, because most GMs are kind of scared because there's not an Andrew Luck in this draft. There's not a RG3. There's not a Peyton Manning, if you will. But there are some players that have some good things and bad things. And I guess most GMs are kind of nervous, Rob, because it seems like, they don't want to miss out on the opportunity because, Mansell has a lot of good qualities, but you just don't know how he's going to develop. He doesn't have everything, if you will. So I know that you got Bortles going number three to Jacksonville. You also have Sammy Watkins going to Cleveland. It seems like we talked about, they're going to get an explosive player. And then you have Oakland taking Johnny Manziel. So let's kind of talk about the first, how you kind of have everything here. I keep hearing, Rob, that Dallas may want to trade up to get Johnny Manziel, and I think that may be more of a deal for Jerry Jones trying to become, trying to get that buzz for the stadium, Rob.
Well, absolutely. I don't think they have enough ammo right now to move up and get Manziel. I think if you see Manziel start slipping to 8, 9, 10, then maybe Dallas starts getting on the phone to see what they can do to move up. But obviously, if Manziel is going to go number 5, where I have him going right now, Dallas doesn't have enough ammunition to move up that high in the draft. And, right now, I think Oakland is just looking for a buzz, and I think they're willing to take that risk right now. Obviously, Manziel, we think he's going to be boom or bust at the next level. I think more and more scouts are starting to feel more comfortable with him, and I think Oakland is willing to take that risk. You're talking about an organization that could use a boost in ticket sales as well. And so I think they're willing to take that risk and seeing what they can do to build some excitement around their organization. And, even with the second-round pick, I got them taking Cyrus Cuanjo from Alabama. They can use some help on that offensive line. I think if that draft goes as I have it predicted to go, I think you're looking at a very good draft for Oakland with just those first two picks right there.
Good deal. Where do you think the best fit for, if you think the best fit for Johnny Manziel is at Oakland, or where would you think the best fit for him would actually be?
Well, I think a couple of places. I mean, obviously, I think if he goes to Oakland, he can, boost some excitement in their organization. I think Jacksonville, I think, even though I think they're going to pass on him, I think he would be a good fit. I think Gus Bradley could almost have, a similar quarterback to what he had when he was in Seattle, Russell Wilson. And also I think Minnesota could be a good organization for him, bringing back Fran Tarkenton-style play. I even think Lovie Smith could be a good head coach for him in Tampa. So I think there's a lot of good fits there possibly for Johnny Manziel.
I want to talk about, you just mentioned Tampa, and number 7, you have them picking Teddy Bridgewater, totally from left field, and I don't know. Yeah, this definitely surprised me. Why do you think this is Bucks are actually high on a Teddy Bridgewater? Is that pretty accurate?
Based on what I'm hearing, they are definitely prepared to take Manziel or Bridgewater if they can in this draft. And there's a lot of different kind of smoke screens going on with Bridgewater. They are general manager in the league. They're tearing him down to try to get him to fall. And we got to realize at one point he was projected to be the number one player in this draft. So there's still some teams that feel like they're real high on him and think that he would be a steal at certain points in this draft. And obviously there is some teams that are scared of him as well. I think Tampa, as I just mentioned, they are looking to possibly take a risk and go for Manziel and Bridgewater. They think the potential is there for greatness for both of these players.
We spend a lot of time in the top 5 of the draft here. I do want to just comment, like you said, if Greg Robinson is there for the Falcons, man, I am jumping up and down. And I was surprised that I would say that. I don't want them to move up, even though Jadeveon Clowney is kind of, that's one of the things that we're talking about. But I would be ecstatic if he's there at six. I don't know if that's actually going to happen, but I would be really, really happy if that did come into play. And I guess,
well, I think there's a strong chance that that's going to happen. I really do. I mean, like I said, this is a loaded draft here. And so you look at a guy, Jake Matthews, in any other draft, he could be the number one pick in the draft. And he's going number nine here. That's just how strong this draft is. And so, I mean, there's a very good chance that Greg Robinson will be there for Atlanta at number six. I mean, I'll bet 75% chance.
Gotcha. Like I said, I know we've been kind of beating this to a dead horse here. I'm going to open up to you, Rob, if you want to kind of highlight any teams you want to jump in the second round as well. I know you want to talk about your Saints as well. Totally on you where you want to go in this direction, and I'll kind of like add some feedback as we're going to keep moving here, because I know we've been talking about the top 10, top 15 as well. So let's kind of get your thoughts as far as where you want to go, and I'll try to add some flavor to that as well, sir.
Well, since you mentioned the Saints, we don't really get that deep in the first round. So, yeah, we'll talk about the Saints situation here a little bit. You know, at number 27, I haven't taken Bradley Roby, a cornerback here. As you know, the Saints signed Chan Bailey, but I think at this point in his career, he's a nickel corner at best. You know, maybe even the Saints use him as a tweener, let him play some safety a little bit. And so, obviously, the Saints need a starting caliber cornerback to play opposite of Keenan Lewis. So, of course, Bradley Roby will be a solid pickup. I think this is a deep corner draft. If you don't take a corner in the first round, you can go for a guy like Keith McGill from Utah, who I think is a very underrated corner with good size, good press cover skills. Pierre Desir, a guy a lot of people may not know of. He's a cornerback from Lindenwood College. Great third-round prospect. I think has the potential to be another good steal. Anybody that's looking for a corner in the third round. But I have the Saints taking Roby here in the first round. Look at the second round. The Saints can use some young receivers. I have taken Paul Richardson from Colorado, guy with good size, good speed, good hands. Didn't really have great quarterback play in college. And the Saints can use some depth at the receiver position. And that's the position they could very well go in the first round. And watch Jarvis Landry for teams looking for third-round prospects for wide receiver. I think a guy that could be another steal. Might have the best hands in college football last year. Didn't really have great speed at the combine. That's the reason why he's dropping. Ran a 4.7. He improved on that on his pro day to 4.3. But I think if you're in the third round looking for a wide receiver, Jarvis Landry is that guy that's going to be a steal.
One thing that I am actually surprised about is right after the Saints is that you've got Carolina drafting Lewis Nix, the defensive tackle from Notre Dame. I think for a fact that they have to get a wide receiver, Rob, because right now they just, they're going to go wide receiver first round. That's my thought process. You know, I know it takes a while for receivers to develop, but I'm thinking they're going to get the best on the board. They may grab a veteran here, but that's where I'm thinking they're going to go in this particular. I think the defense has been pretty solid. Cam was probably in the ear of Ron Rivera saying, "Hey, come on, draft me some talent." Why do you think? What do you think about that, Rob?
Well, I think you make a great point there, and I think if a wide receiver meets the grade that they're to pick, they would definitely take a wide receiver. At this stage in the draft, I don't know if there's a wide receiver that fits the grade. Maybe you can go Marcus Lee from USC right there. Won't be too bad of a reach. That might be the one guy that you can grab. I tell you, another guy who's rising up draft boards is Cody Lattimore, wide receiver from Indiana. Right now I have him going 39 overall to Jacksonville. But this is another guy that didn't quite have the great quarterback play in college. But now that he's getting to the workouts, teams are seeing his size, speed, and hands. I think he's rising up draft boards. This is another guy that could possibly sneak into the second round. But here's, you also have to think about this. Wide receiver might be the deepest position in this draft. But you're going to have some good receivers in the middle rounds in this draft as well. So I think Carolina is going to stay the course. And if one fits the grade there at 28, yes, you grab them. If not, you can definitely still pick up two receivers in between rounds 2 and 5 and probably get some guys that can help you. And you got to think about it from a standpoint. Carolina is not, you know, they're not going to throw the ball 40 times a game. They did sign a couple of receivers, you know, that are average or adequate at best. But, you know, they're going to be, even with Cam Newton, they're a run-first ball club. And, you know, so as long as they get some decent tight end play and, you know, some decent receivers, they should be able to get by.
We're going to show some love to Seattle here. And I like what you said, the rich get richer. If they get Dee Ford, man, that is probably an amazing situation right there. They just reload. I do think that they're definitely going to grab some cornerbacks, Rob, because they have to get some more depth just in case they can't re-sign Richard Sherman and stuff like that, some other cornerbacks. So we'll keep an eye on them draft-wise, Rob, because this is going to be an interesting grab for them if they decide to go that route.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they do need some depth at the cornerback position, and I do expect corner, as we mentioned, is another deep position in this draft. And I do think at some point they will draft the cornerback. I think if a guy like Bradley Roby is still available at 32, I could very well see Seattle grabbing him. He's about the only guy that I can possibly see them getting in the first round, maybe a Jason Verrett if he falls as well. At the moment, I have both of them gone. So there's not a corner that fits the grade at 32. But I mentioned Pierre Desir, underrated cornerback from Lindenwood College, could be a strong possibility in the third round.
It's always amazing, man, because every time we talk about
even Akeem McGill,
always,
he can fall to 6'4".
Yeah, every time we're in this draft, we always seem to, like, go right through our time because we've got about 4 minutes left, it seems like. I do want to say, if you are a team, like, you know, that wants to trade up, because we talked about it earlier that, you know, it seems like that we're going to have at least 100 juniors, 100 players, if you will, that are not going to get drafted. So should you be concerned if you're trying to trade up? I mean, everyone's like, oh, there's not enough depth. But there's going to be about 100 players, Rob, that aren't going to get drafted. So should I be concerned if I'm trying to trade up that I'm not going to get good depth?
Well, I think you have to look at the overall makeup of your roster here. You know, if you feel like you got a lot of depth and a lot of positions, you probably can't afford to trade up. I think you have to look at the overall, how confident you can get some undrafted free agents that can come in and help you. I'll just use New Orleans Saints as an example. I mean, this past year, I mean, they found quite a few undrafted free agents that made the team and was able to have an impact and help them in the special teams area. So, I mean, you have to be confident in your scouts to be able to find some, you know, undrafted rookies that can come up and help you. If you feel like you got a lot of depth on your roster already, you know, I'll use the 49ers as an example. This team, you know, look at Seattle. You look at a couple of ball clubs. Then you look at their roster, they have a lot of depth and a lot of positions. They can afford to possibly trade up and, you know, go for something dynamic because you have the depth on your roster already. And then you have to look at the 49ers and the Seahawks, for example. Right now, they both have quarterbacks who are not in their mega deals yet. So they're still under their rookie deals. You can afford to get some high-priced guys to come on your team. You can afford to trade up, get more first-round picks and pay them those salaries because your quarterbacks are still under their rookie deals too.
Love it, love it, love it. Rob, as always, man, we seem to do our best work in the OT portion. We got about 2 minutes. Man, it's already over for this particular issue of episode of Talking Sports 12. Man, can you go ahead and set it up for next week? And let's get ready to wrap the show up.
Once again, next Tuesday night, people, you don't want to miss it. 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. For our good friends in Germany, I think it's going to be 5 a.m. Wednesday morning. So y'all don't want to miss it. What's going to be? It'll be our last pre NFL draft show. You don't want to miss it. Good night, people.
Good night, people. As always, we always thank you for tuning in. Definitely give a lot of love to Rob, man. Appreciate you posting the mock drafts. We didn't get a chance to get into a lot of that stuff, which I think next week we should talk about second round. And I mean, little things like that, too. But we'll keep it moving. We always have to kind of go the flow with what's happening during that particular time. But we are excited. Maybe we'll talk about team needs and whatnot. But, what a great show. Rob, we thank you once again, and we'll talk about it. We'll see you guys next week.
Good night, people.
Good night, people.